listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 12th. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we are going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now for tonight's topic, numerology and the cycles of our life. And, you know, I think a good place to start would be, how would you define numerology, Dr. Hunter? Dr. Hunter, are you with us?
I had the mute button on.
Oh, that happened to the best of us.
I'm talking, but I've been muted. Sorry about that. You know, and everything is numbers right from the beginning of time. I think that it goes back to, you know, Plato and Socrates and, you know, I mean, it's as old as... You know, when you look at the stars and you calculate things, there's always been a study of numbers in some regard. And, of course, the Cavalarians, that's not very old, actually, the Cavalarian understanding of numbers. And, you know, it's just evolved. Everybody has this fascination with, I think, primarily... math and science propelled the study of numerology and observing numbers. I think that as people got more metaphysical, you know, and understanding that there might be something to a name or to a sound or like it's even there's music in nature and you can calculate it. Dr. Stephen is saying, you know, in the chat, it's the Greeks.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, the Greeks had a tremendous influence there, too, in that evolution of numerology. But
it was those same philosophers that really conceptualized metaphysics.
Exactly. It's a whole evolution of it. And what I was going to say, though, is that sounds in nature have a note, and that note on a scale, and there's a numeric value for that. So how everything is intertwined mathematically. So then the study of numbers, I think, came from people observing, let's say, the full moon or observing calendars, observing moods or people, and just kind of an evolution of observing. So again, everyone has their interpretations of what those are. The Kabbalarians, of course, take the basic numbers of 1 to 9, and then they evolve to 11, 12, 22, 33. And it can get really very serious, you know. And there's, of course, the correlation with astrology in that also. And again, I really want to emphasize the importance of realizing that whatever is said is still someone else's observation and their interpretation. And I'm afraid in the last 50 or 100 years, there's been a lot of plagiarism. You know, it's like building on top of other people's work, which isn't a bad thing. Not at all. I think we all do that to a larger degree, unfortunately. But it's kind of a basic understanding of how those numbers, how we live by numbers and how they apply to our life. Like, we live by a clock. We live by a calendar. You know, where I am, you know, my clock says it's after 6. Where you are, it's after 9. And that's how we synchronize to, in a cycle of time, we connect at that. So, you know, we're living numbers always. And so I think it would be very natural for people to say, well, what would it mean if? And what does that mean? And what does this mean? So it's really an evolution. I don't take myself, I don't take numbers to the extreme that a lot of people do. I think it's keeping it simple. I like to keep things really simple for myself. And, of course, you know, an astrologer would say, well, what I do is simple. And I'd say, no, I don't think so. You know, so it's in the cycles of life and how we live cycles, I look for what repeats, you know, the things that tend to repeat, and then observe what repeats, you know. So, okay, there's 7 days in a week, for example, and I was born on a Tuesday. Now, that would be, according to H. Spencer Lewis in the Cycles of Life in his book, that would be my Sunday. So as I've observed over the years, like Sunday, Tuesday and Sunday, okay. Tuesday, I'm not up and energetic like a lot of people are. You know, it's interesting. Mm. And so, but by Wednesday, I'm kicking into gear. Now,
that's an interesting thought.
And so I have, and I've been watching my own patterns as far as the cycles go. So whatever day you're born on, whatever day of the week you're born on, then you're going to take that forward the 7 days. Collectively, you know, today is Wednesday where we live, and we collectively agree that it's Wednesday. But in my cycles or patterns of life, it would be my Monday. So that's according to H. Spencer Lewis's observations. And I have found that, you know, by how we all function by the days of the week, that would kind of make sense. However, that being said, collectively, we have grown into a civilization or societies that work Monday to Friday. And that wasn't always the case. The only Sunday, again, and that's really religious-driven, Sunday being and Christian-driven, Sunday is the day of rest and prayer. You see, and so it's all, again, and I'm saying all of that because it's open to interpretation.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be whatever you think it is. And now, if anybody has pen and paper, it'd be a really good time to, or if you don't have one, get one out and just calculate something here. One of the things that I observed that I didn't read in any books anywhere, it's just a biorhythm of observing. And again, I went to the very basics of numbers. So if your birth path number, let's say I'm October 25th, and by my year, I'm a birth path of 1. So the number 1 is my birth path number. But if I go October 25, 2020, Actually, I haven't. I'm going to have to calculate this right now because I haven't done it for quite a long time. I'm in a 3 year. So I add up 10, 25, 20, 20. I add it up and break it down to a single digit. Now, to make it really speedy, everybody, you might want to know that 9 cancels itself out. So everywhere you can add up a 9, cancel it out and add up what's remaining. It's a very interesting thing, which I'll get to 9 in a bit. But I'm in a 3 year. 2 years ago, I would have been in a 1 year. So in 2018, my birth path number lined up with the year. So this is where I observed over time, there's something to that. And because it's a birth path number, what I realized is that my relationship with the outside world began to change. How I saw myself in the world, how I was with the world, or, you know, my connection to anything outside myself. And I thought that was, you know, really fascinating. So I took note of that. Now, my name number, you know, calculates to a 7. So just to know how to calculate, you draw 1 to 9 across the top and write the alphabet underneath. So A is 1. And A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. The next line is J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R. The next line is S, T, U, V, W, X, Y. 8 lines up with the Z or Z at the bottom. So that's where you would find a letter, find the corresponding number. And then you add up those numbers. So that's how you chart it out. It's a very simple chart. So my name number being a 7, I'm in a 3 year now. In 4 years, I'll be in a 7 year. So 10/25, 2024 will equal a 7. So now my name number and the year is kind of crossing an intersection. They line up. And it's when I go through internal changes, internal shifts. Who am I? I think I don't like peas anymore. You know, it can be really simple or it can be really existential, profound. There's a change in the self. So watching these, so if I kind of chart it out in a long graph, there's these biorhythms that constantly intersect. So if we look back every 9 years, I would say, okay, what happened in a 3 year? 9 years, 9 years, 9 years before. But when those other numbers lined up, were they more profound? And I'd calculate that out. And I'd say, wow, yeah, I can see there's a different expression of the same thing. You see, it's like a thread, some kind of conscious or unconscious energy at work that, you know, of course, we're older, different, changed, living different places. And, but I can certainly see, you know, where there's a thread of something. So looking at that biorhythm. Now, there's one more number. If you add your name number and your birth path number together, you get what's called a destiny number. And some numerologists would say that that's like end of life. Aha, that's what my life was about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what my soul's journey was about. Now, because I'm a 7-1, my destiny number would be an 8. Now, when I come into an 8 year, which is, again, every 9 years, there's like a spiritual rebirthing, if you will. It's that, what's my calling, getting that spiritual itch or restlessness where you want to learn more or expand your ideas more. So that'll come up for me in 5 years. So I have this pattern of that 7, 8, and a bit later a 1. So that's when I do a reading and I plug in. I say, oh, there's a pattern. So in a 7 year, I go through an internal shift, and then I have the back-to-back spiritual shift, and then a couple of years later I've got this, now what do I do with my life? Which is kind of a great pattern to have, I suppose. You can spend an awful lot of time thinking and meditating instead of doing, though. So So that would be my pattern. And that's where I talk about the cycles of life. Everyone mm-hmm. has their own cycle. So I can see it in a straight line, well, if we're using the elements of time, or I can see it in a circle. I can see it in a graph. But there's this rhythmic energy at work. And again, using those very basic true numbers of 1 to 9.
Hmm.
So if that if people want to do that for themselves and just take a look back. And, of course, the older you get, the more 9 periods you have to look at to see, you know, how that works for you. But even if you're in your 20s or your 30s, you can still look back every 9 years and you can look, well, what's my pattern going to be? Now, let's say you have your birth path lines up. Let's say it being a 1, and then your name number is a 2. So you've got a back-to-back. So your pattern is likely going to be your life changes, and it throws you into that existential crisis. Like, so in 1 year, when those your birth path is lined up with the year you're in, that's natural. That would be a natural rhythm of your relationship with the outside world begins to change. You see it differently, interact with it differently. Friends, maybe you move, maybe you change your job, anything outside the self. The following year, you're a name number of 2, and that, you know, you're in a 2 year. It's kind of like, oh, okay, I had all these changes. Who am I as a result of all these changes? So that would be your natural rhythm. But because you're a 1-2, that following year you're going to be a 3. That's a 3-year period in your life where you're saying, wow. So if you know that ahead of time, oh, I'm going into this cycle. And be kinder to yourself to not beat yourself up and stuff. Just know that that's your natural rhythm. So I gave you a really extreme example of, oh, man, people can get thrown right into a big tizzy with that kind of a pattern. But that would be with them for life because you can't change that. But you can change your attitude about it and your relationship with it. So, again, taking those numbers and just seeing and observing a cycle and how that works for you. I hope I've explained that well.
I think so. I've been following along, and I started to write down some of the information at first too on a pad, but then I wasn't able to keep up and multitask at the same time. I felt like it was the first day of math class again. but it's a fascinating topic, and it's really, you know, brings interesting perspective to how the patterns in our life work. Because I can attest that I don't have the numerology underpinning this, but I can attest to the fact that my life has gone in, you know, relative patterns. It seems like I move every 2 years. It seems like, you know, things have, looking back on the last couple of decades, you can see, you know, chunks of life that were rather consistent, and then there was change and then consistency. So it is interesting to look at the patterns, and it's interesting how those patterns make us think about ourselves and our place in the world. And I think you absolutely made an excellent point when you said, if we understand that we're just, you know, I personally don't know my patterns the same way that you do yours in terms of going through that process. But just to know that I'm going through a period of change and to cut myself some slack, that's powerful itself.
Oh, I agree. And so I think that there is an understanding of how numbers, numerology, so to speak, can help us have a better relationship with ourselves in life. Because it does give us a different kind of perspective. And look, you can't change your birth date, and mm-hmm. you can't change, you can't change your zodiac sign. But you can't change your numbers, but you can absolutely change your understanding of that. You know, I am a Scorpio, and Scorpios have such a bad rap sometimes. But as an astrologer explained to me back in the 70s, that there's 3 stages of Scorpio in their evolution and the understanding universally, and that's the serpent, the eagle, and the dove. Now, I mean, you can just imagine the serpent's kind of nasty. The eagle is rising above and, you know, has its properties. And then the dove, well, that's making peace with yourself and in life. And I think I know the serpent in me, but I made peace with that serpent a very long time ago in life, deciding who I'm going to be. I made that decision, a very conscious decision. The eagle, well, I can go with that. You know, I can relate to that understanding of Scorpio. Dovedom, well, I have tasted it now and again, but I'm not so sure that I will reach dovedom in this lifetime, you know?
You don't think so?
Well, I don't, you know, and that's okay. But understanding the nature of that so-called Scorpio element is very helpful to me, and I think that everyone has an ability to have a better understanding. My greater understanding, honestly, of myself is noting that I'm an autumn baby and that autumn has more influence over me and the seasons. It's my favorite season of the year. And so when I think of life in terms of seasons, I can relate better. I notice that there are things about autumn babies, winter babies, spring babies, and summer babies. So when you're, whatever time of year, there's going to be certain things about your nature, you see? And then I see that as nature. So I simplify it a little more, that the nature, your nature, and the nature you're born into will have a relationship. A lot of summer babies have a very difficult time with winter, right?
Oh, I'm the exact opposite. I'm a summer baby. I hate summer. Of course, I live in Florida, so it gets hot. But that being said, I've always hated summer. Well,
interesting.
It's just, you know.
But your Florida winter is my summer.
This is true.
See, and I guess, and you, but you weren't born in Florida. You were, you, by your nature. I don't know. I'm just picking away here.
Well,
but again, there would be however you relate. And I
think that's exactly right, how you relate, because I always loved winters. I always loved the snow. I loved the cold. I loved the cold weather stuff, the jackets, all of it. I just always loved winter, and, you know, when I was a kid, when I lived in it. And I don't know, that kind of stuck with me. Now, of course, winter's the nicest season in Florida, so it's easy to love, but I've always loved wintertime. I always loved the days, you know, kind of growing darker. Everything kind of gets cozier. I've always been more of a night owl, so, you know, I like the nighttime. It's always just been my time, you know?
See, and I think that that in and of itself is an interesting self-observation, and we could probably justify somewhere, oh, that plays into numbers. You know, Dr. Stephen has asked a question in the chat. Any danger of programming, quote-unquote, the outcomes from knowledge of calculated possibility? I think I understand what your question is. Is there a danger of predetermining what's to come in your life if you think you know what that is? There's always those dangers. I mean, we I think we're, you know, all programmed to some degree, you know?
Well, of course,
just by nature of conditioning. So, well, I think, you know,
I mean, we are all the human animal. We have we have a more advanced level of awareness and free will than many of the other species on this planet, but we're still nonetheless a human animal that has some degree of programming and some degree of instinct that will always kind of override a lot of whatever conscious thought is.
True enough. So the other thing that I did want to mention about numbers tonight and cycles would be in the sevens. And this is where H. Spencer Lewis comes in, and I have to give credit where it's due because it's absolutely fascinating. And you can get the, I know I've mentioned him on the program before, and Amazon does offer his book, Cycles of Life. And it is a fascinating study that he has observed that there are seven exact equal elements of time in a day, 7 days in a week, 7 exact increments of time in a year, minus the leap year, which self-corrects. And he observed this, but it was already set up. He was living in the 1800s. And so what he observed is that in each of these cycles, and I think that it was also relevant to his time period, you know, in the study of the human conditioning in our societies, and a lot of his information applied to that. And at the turn of the century, the 20th century with industrialization, so a lot of his material is written from that position, so his worldview. So you have to keep that in mind when you read it, but it's very fascinating. Every 7 years, we go through a shift, and that 7 goes up to the age of 49, and at the age of 49 to 56, you're now in a 1 cycle again. So he takes it through age, and he has an interpretation of each of those, 0 to 7, 7 to 14, etc., what he thought would be natural ebbs and tides of life. But in a year, when you, if you know, even as it broken down to the time of birth, that it gets really complicated, but the from the day of your birth, that being a Sunday, but also how to calculate out every 52 days in the year. And the first, and this is something I have observed without question, that but the period before the birthday, the 52 days before the birthday, he calls it the devolution time, and that's the de-evolving, meaning it's a rest period. So it's not a time to start anything new unless it's short term. It's not a time to start anything new unless it requires a lot of detail and goes long past the birth date. So it's a time to watch out for sensitivity in the body, sensitivity in emotions, and sensitivity to just the outside world. People can feel irritable at times because it's restlessness. And it really means it's a time of, you know, kind of de-evolving from the previous year. Now, after the birth date, think of the birthday as the full moon. And after the birthday, you go into a 52-day period of, whoa, this is, it's good public relations times. You can, what was this, Matt saying, it sounds like it's basing off the Jubilees. I don't know what that is. Matt, maybe you can let me know. But the 52 days after the birthday is an excellent time for self-promoting and socializing and getting back out there. I think it's in period three or four that's good for money. But each period in a year would be have its energy that he could relate to. And I've found that I have had 3 kids who would overlap their devolutions at the same time. Oh, Christmas was hell at my house. That's crazy. Like they're all going through it at the same time, right up till February and March. So it, I went, oh man, pulling my hair out through that whole holiday and into January was kind of brutal. And because they'd all have that same sensitivity at the same time. But once I really clued into that, especially when they were babies, then I could say, okay, this is going to be a pattern. And so it, you know, you work with it. So studying sevens, you know, and again, Dr. Stevens mentioned 7 notes in a musical scale, 7 major chakras. I agree, but I want to add something to that. And it was around the time of the Gregorian chant that those wonderful Christian musicians kind of broke everything down into sevens. And that's, it was 33 notes in a scale prior to that. And we look at the 7 major chakras in the body, but they're, who is it, the graduate, Dr. Manisha, with IMHS, in fact, has written a book from India and on chakras. Hmm. And there are, and actually you could probably look her up through the school, anybody who's a student. I can't remember her last name off the top of my head, and I so apologize to Dr. Manisha for that. But she said there's thousands of chakras, which is, you know, hundreds of thousands in the cells in the body and so on. She really does a great job of teaching about that.
Very interesting.
It is interesting because, you know, it's like if you think about, this is something back in the 80s that I was exploring, is that the front chakra of the heart being green, the back is, on your back at that area is turquoise. So it's just an off color, because then there's blue at the throat. So between the blue and the green on the back, as the energy is moving, it's turquoise. So we can say, you know, I can easily come up with, you know, 12 chakras, and, you know, for those overlaps back and forth. So it's very interesting. But how we've broken things down into seven is in the collective consciousness. It wasn't always that way. If we do some research, you know, we can really find other information. It's fascinating. So again, the patterns, the cycles of life, and kind of, Matt did explain the Jewish calendar cycles and sevens, the 50th year being the fulfillment of the 49. That very well, Matt, I really appreciate you bringing that up, because there could very well be a correlation between Spencer Lewis's material and the Jewish calendar. You know, Spencer Lewis was also a Rosicrucian with the ancient and mystical order, the Rosicrucis, Amorc, as we know it as, and very well educated about religions and philosophy, metaphysics in particular. So he may well have extrapolated some of his information from what you're talking about, Matt. So that's a really good reference. Dr. Edwards said Manisha's last name is Anwakar. I know there should be an N in there, I think. Edward, thank you for that, Anwakar. So you can look her up. She's very, very knowledgeable about chakras and does a lot of good work. And she does have a website, too, so you can look her up.
Very interesting.
So you know, that's kind of, I know we could talk about this, or I can talk about this for a very long time, but I know we have to keep our timing in check here.
Well, it has been a fascinating discussion. Of course, I've done my fair share of listening on this particular broadcast, but numerology is a can be a simple but yet complex topic, and it you know, there's a lot of facets to it. And I would just say, you know, it's natural to look at the power of numerology, and when you look at the, you know, you can look at the power of mathematics and the truth inherent in mathematics as one of the first essential core truths that humanity learned. You know, it's the Greeks called it I don't know if it was the Greeks. It was St. Augustine of Hippo, I think it was, who said it was the language of God, mathematics.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But it's a fascinating topic, and you're right. I would enjoy listening about it for, you know, much longer. But we do have some cards to pull. And
we do.
It's going to be another fascinating topic next week. I'm looking forward to that. I think we touched on that a touch this evening also.
Yeah, I think we're going to, next week, we're going to incorporate kind of about the Earth's electromagnetic frequencies, and is there any truth to the full moon cycles and energies and the intensities, and so you can do a little more research. So anybody else who wants to do some research on that and bring it to the table in the chat next week, or shoot us an email, that would be great.
I think it's going to be...
we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one because, you know, we had talked about it before the broadcast, and what is, you know... It was talking about, you know, what is a, you know, does a full moon have an impact, and what is that if not a part of a cycle?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes.
And it's just, you know, the cycles of our life just keep coming up and up again. And, you know, I was thinking about the number seven in terms of my own personal experience, how anecdotally I can relate to it. And it's just truly, utterly fascinating. But anyway, the evening must go on, and it is that time. So we do have a few names in already for some cards.
We have Irma up first, I think. So if you want to pick out of the inner oracle self-discovery cards, Michael, I will find a support energy in the tarot.
else.
All right, sounds good. All right, and we have number 4, past, present, and future. Let's see. All right. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, in support of that, Irma, I have the Ten of Clubs, which is the Ten of Wands in tarot language. And what that says to me is that the goal is in sight. You can still feel some pressure right now. You can feel like, you know, it's like you're getting a little bit tired or like worn a little. But, you know, I got to say, that's 2020. I mean, 2020 is like, whew, what a year. But I think that in this case, and past, present, future, taking a little inventory at the moment, I think that it's important for you to know and be reassured that no matter what is going on right now, the goal is in sight. You're nearly there. So it's saying hang in there. Don't lose sight of that goal. Let go of what doesn't belong to you. And, you know, what you can do more for yourself, kind of take an inventory, so that'll get you into the home stretch. So I hope that makes sense.
Very nice.
All right, so we have Dr. Edward next, I think.
We do, and Dr. Edward, I pulled number 20, deliberate intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic, it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have.
Now, in support of that, for you, Edward, I've got the Page of Diamonds, it's the Page of Pentacles. And that has everything to do with finances, money, anything of a physical possessions nature. So I would say that there's some, you're putting it out there for what you want in return, but you're also talking about it, you're negotiating it. And I can see a better, I want to say a better win-win. And I don't know why I want to say that, so I just go with it. But I see in September, early September, a better feeling of win-win. So put your intent, you know, like really laser that intent in, and use your communication skills to serve you and navigate through this time to get what you want that'll come, you know, in the next number of weeks. So I think this is more work-related for you. Excellent.
Very good.
So Irma made a comment in the chat, and I'm just giggling to myself. Irma said, the last time that we pulled cards, Michael, you pulled the same one, past, present, and future. She's been taking inventory all year and did not let the events of 2020 change her life. So thanks for sharing that, Irma.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was just thinking about that myself.
So, I mean, what are the odds? Now, again, mathematically, what are the odds? And this has come up in other programs before. We've had similar things even with Dr. Edward, Matt, other people. What are the odds of the same card coming up at the same time? Yeah, it's pretty wacky to me.
It is. It is near impossible. But
so, Dr. Edward is talking about he's retired, so in matters of money, I appreciate what you're saying, Dr. Edward, but I think you're going to be talking to people about money. So in matters of work, and you're going to be doing some things that would give you a return. So something about investments there. So again, thank you for sharing that you're retired, but I think that you're still talking to people about money. I got to stick with what I see. So I can't always let myself be, oh, gee, you know. But it's, I go with the flow. All right, so we do have Matt up next.
All right. And Matt, let's see, we have wild card number 6, entropy. Excuse me. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution, rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, now, Matt, you're going to love this, Dr. Matt. I should say that respectfully. Magician is what I got in support of that. I always see that as alchemy, you know, and I think when you've got entropy with magician, it's being able to transform something to a brighter, clearer energy. You know, it's like making gold out of a piece of metal. You know what I'm saying? So I think what you're in this metamorphosis type of shift. And he laughs. He says, those together are amazing. They are amazing cards together. It's really profound in my view also. So I think that you're changing the frequencies of energy and being a bit of an alchemist. And I think that also takes a certain amount of insightfulness and being a good observer, but being intuitive also. So whatever you're doing, you're on it. So be observant of that energy, know what works and what doesn't, and how you can keep manifesting from entropies, you know, those frequencies of energy. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, all right. I don't see any other names tonight, but we also run out of time, Michael. So unless I've missed something here that we can pick up on somebody really quick.
No, I think we got everybody. And I was just taking a last look through the chat as well, but no, I believe we got everybody that needed a card. And it has gone by quick tonight. It's been a fascinating discussion because they are all fascinating discussions, of course. How could they not be?
I've got to say our Wendy, you know, this wonderful family we have on chat that comes in every week, and then the new ones. Wendy is away. She's our resident chef cook that always tells us what she's cooking for dinner. But I've been keeping track of Wendy now on Facebook, and she's on holidays fishing. So she's cooking fish. I'll tell you, that girl and her pictures of her meals and things, like that's what she does as kind of also her therapy through COVID. and very family-oriented woman. But, man, I'll tell you, the pictures of these, it really almost inspires me to want to cook. Well, not quite, but almost. But even so, she'll be listening in the archives. Hello, Wendy, when you listen later. And to everybody, thanks for joining us. You know, it's good to have you all here every week. It's
absolutely
something for me to look forward to also.
It is. It's something we look forward to every week. It's engaging. We have a great back and forth with not only, you know, you and I feel, but with our live audience in the chat, always bringing something to the table, new ideas, and yeah, definitely the highlight of my week. So thank you for joining us. And like we touched on earlier, we're going to be talking about some interesting subjects next week. We're going to be discussing, you know, what impact, if any, does a full moon have, and you know, what are the underpinnings of that. And I think we might throw in a few other things, but it's going to be an interesting discussion. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
All right. Well, until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.